Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
We're going to be in Luke 1, and this is the story of Mary's response, not to the angel Gabriel who came to her and told her that she was going to have a son, but just to give you the background, the angel has come to Elizabeth and has told Elizabeth, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the one who's going to prepare the way for the Messiah, essentially. He doesn't use that language, but he uses language where a Jewish Elizabeth would have known what he was saying, right? And so in doing that, Elizabeth is now pregnant, and she's older. And when the angel comes to Mary, he tells her, you're going to have a son. And she asks all the questions that a young virgin would ask. How is that possible? And he explains it to her. He says, even Elizabeth is now pregnant with a son. And you're going to have a son. And here's all the things about him. He will be the one that's been promised. And so Mary then goes to Elizabeth and stays with her, it says, for 3 months. And so if you're following the chronology of Elizabeth's pregnancy, it says that this happened in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So essentially, Mary stays with her for the entire last trimester of her pregnancy. And when Mary first gets to the house, it's obvious by Elizabeth's response that she either doesn't know when she's going to arrive or doesn't even know that she's coming at all. Because it says that when they heard Mary's voice, the baby leapt up in her, and Elizabeth does this proclamation for Mary. Blessed are you. Why am I even worthy for you to come into my house? I felt the baby leap inside of me. And so this is what is hitting Mary's ears. And here, in all of that, here is Mary's response in Luke chapter 1, from verse 46 to 56. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on my humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mightily from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And then it says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's pray. God, as you look down in our lowly estate, we're thankful that you see us, that you came because of us. We can't get away from the message of Easter even while we celebrate the Advent, because it was the reason that you came, and we're thankful. So God, would you allow us to engage with this story of Mary and realize that in a lot of ways it is our own story. May our hearts be full of the same response of worship that Mary engaged with in this section of Scripture. Would you move our hearts, Holy Spirit? In your name we pray. Amen. So in response to the news of her pregnancy, in Mary's deepest person, and if you've ever had a moment of finding out that you're pregnant with a child and excited, it is the deepest thing within you, a thing of excitement, a thing of beauty, a thing of mercy. Even in those moments of unplannedness, there is this kind of holiness about it. I have a friend, and him and his wife did not have a planned pregnancy. They had two older kids, and then here comes along a baby. Some years later, she was born 2 weeks before Amelia, and it wasn't planned. And so there was a moment of, uh-oh, and here we go again. Our daughters are middle school, high school, and now we're going to be dealing with this. But even in that, there wasn't. And just to be a blunt part of the story, he wasn't necessarily thrilled about the prospect of that happening, But he was absolutely thrilled that God had, you know what I'm saying? So you can hold that in dualism. For Mary, this was her first one. But you have to think that maybe some of that was going on in her mind because she's not married, right? We all know that, but Mary's not married. That was the whole virgin part of the virgin birth, right? And so it was a shameful thing. She was poor. She didn't have all the resources, but her spirit is flooded with delight, and she directs all her worship to God. And she tips her hand as to why in these 10 verses. She said, because God has seen me. Mary's young. She's poor. She's pregnant out of wedlock. She's hiding in an obscure hill town, and it's currently occupied by a foreign power of Rome. She's living in utter obscurity. She has no reason to be beside herself with joy towards God, and yet she is. She's flooded with joy. It's overflowing from who she is, so much so that she bursts into song because of the one reason that God saw her. Verse 46, she says this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked down on the humble estate of his servant. He looked down on me. I didn't deserve it, and God saw me." And that was the reason for Mary's spontaneous worship of God. That was the reason it happened. When you know that the divine sees you, the deepest part of your spirit, I was thinking of that this week as I thought about Mary. It's like, what is the worst thing that God doesn't qualify this because all sin separates us from him, and that was the reason he came. But we like to qualify sin, right? Like, we like to make, well, at least I wasn't an axe murderer, you know? At least I wasn't Mussolini or whoever the person may be. Like, I mean, I've done some bad stuff, but hey, there's always somebody worse. We want to qualify that. And the condition of the human spirit wants to do that. But God's saying that it all separates you from me. I don't want you to do any of it. I want you to be holy as I am holy. And when we can, but I was trying to think, okay, if I'm qualifying my sin, like, what's the worst thing I've done? And then look at that and know that God still saw me, still sees me, still came for me, realized that I needed him and entered into my life so that I could not live in shame, not live in brokenness, not live in despair, but have hope, have joy, have peace. All the things that we celebrate from the Advent happens because God looked down on us and he saw us, and it is the reason for our response and the worship. And so as we talk about the idea of worshiping fully, that doesn't come from an action, right? It comes from our heart. We don't know if Mary was standing or sitting. We don't know if Mary was clapping or kneeling. We don't know if it was fast or if it was slow. All we know was what was springing forth from Mary's heart was this idea of gratitude towards God that he looked down and saw her. And we may be done quick. Because I don't know a ton that I can elaborate to that other than the fact that God looks down on us and he sees us. And so when we gather on Sunday mornings, when we wake up on Tuesday morning, whatever it is, that we can worship God. It's the story of Friar sitting in a Presbyterian pew in February of 2001, reading through liturgy and not understanding it, and kind of making judgment towards it about how this was dead and these were frozen people and blah, blah, blah. And God saying, can you worship me no matter what? Like that's what this prompts us to, because it has nothing to do with the way it expresses himself. It has everything to do with what it is in our hearts that's coming out. In fact, as we end the message this morning, we go into response time. It doesn't seem like an Advent song because you don't hear it on the radio during Advent. Although this morning, no joke, I was driving to church. I was about to turn on Powdersville Road up here, whatever that road is. What's it called? Sheffield? Is that what it's called? Okay. Turn off the Sheffield, and I turned it over to the... my brain was somewhere else. I was kind of thinking about some other things. I was praying, but I had it on the Christian radio station, and I usually listen to sports talk on Sunday morning. I feel like maybe it kind of gets my mind in the right place. It didn't this morning because they're playing Christmas music, and the song they're playing from... This is no joke. The song they're playing on a Christian radio station says during the chorus, I start realizing, like, this is the chorus of every chorus. Like, this is the song about is about the families all here And the most important thing is that we're all together at Christmas time. And that's a good, I mean, I want my family all to be together at Christmas time. That is not the most important thing about Christmas. And I just, like, it disturbed me because I said, this isn't, like, Mary didn't say, well, I'm going to have Jesus and then we're all just going to be together. He's like, no, God looked down on me. He saw me. He saw that I needed him. We can't ever get away from that. If we ever get away from our sin, which we don't want to be reminded of a lot, because it reminds us that we're not perfect and we want to be, like we wish we were, and so being reminded of that's not good. But if we ever get past that, we have no reason to worship. Like, if we can't ever get past the fact, this is what God has done. Like, this is it. Because if it was for me, I wouldn't make it in. The reason we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord that God gives and takes away, is because we have a hope that when death finally comes on us or our loved ones, it doesn't end there. And the only reason we have that hope is because Jesus came in to our lives even when we were sinful and saved us. He looked down and saw us. If you've ever been in the room with a toddler, and if you haven't, me and Ben will come to your house for a while. And you'll see this happen. If I'm not paying enough attention to him, he'll come up and just start tapping me. My six-year-old will do this, actually. Jude probably does it more than Ben. Because Ben usually doesn't want me to see him because he's usually got like a machete or something. But Jude, he will. He'll just come up and tap me. And he'll just, what do you want? He don't want nothing. He just wants me to see him. He wants me to notice him. He wants me to know he's there. And we all have that deep inside of us. It's why celebrity is so intoxicating. That 15 minutes of fame, that doesn't add anything to it. Now, sometimes you get money for it. A lot of times, I mean, sometimes you don't, right? The lady who, I don't know if she got any money for it or not. That lady who had they did the video of Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. I know you've all seen it, so don't act like you hadn't. But, like, she got 15 minutes of fame, right? I mean, that didn't really do nothing for her. I mean, it was kind of cool, but people saw her. People knew who she was. It's why at the Clemson games, the South Carolina games, when interviewing the coach, you got the guy in the back, behind the coach. Or they're turning on their phone like, you see me right here, I'm right here. Because they want to be seen. It's what we do. And it's intoxicating. And the whole reason that this thing of Advent that we're talking about this week is worshiping fully is because of that God did see us. And God does see us. And even though he sees us and he knows us and he knows what boneheaded thing you did this week, or he knows what boneheaded thing you did when you were 18. You know, some of us have to go back that far to remember the last boneheaded thing they did. I probably have to go back like a week, you know, maybe not even that. I was kind of, you know, me and Natalie and I wasn't super thrilled. Y'all, if y'all have seen Ben this morning, you realize he doesn't look like Ben anymore. He got a haircut. We weren't really excited. And when I saw it yesterday, I just really was. I was like, golly. And it wasn't our intention to have his haircut like that. It just happened, whatever. And I told Natalie, I said, honestly, my response is, and I told her this at the house, I said, I'm glad. She's like, I just wish you'd been there because you probably could have stopped it. And I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't, because this is our neighbors. And we really are trying to do some engagement of our neighbors, right? And she's a hairdresser, whatever you call those folks, up the road in Powdersville. And that's where they're at. And I was here cleaning up the church and getting it straightened up. And I forgot to put the things out on the chair, so I apologize. Hopefully we all know each other's name. If you don't know somebody's name, just ask them. If you have a prayer request, tell me or email me, so we will be praying for it this week. I apologize those weren't out. That was my fault. But, and I said, I'm glad I wasn't there, because my first response probably wouldn't have been quite as nice as yours, and then we would have probably lost an opportunity there to engage our neighbors. But that was so I don't have to go back 24 hours to have a moment where I did something boneheaded, right? Or I was willing to do something boneheaded. And God still looked at me and said, it's worth it. Like, I'm coming down for that. And I'm standing in the gap because he can't. And you can't. And because of our sin, we're separated from God. Mother Teresa had sin in her life, just like Mussolini. And they both needed God to come in the flesh. That is the joy of Advent season. It's the hope and it's the joy. Like, all that is wrapped up into one person. The peace, the love, the hope, the joy that we talk about during Advent, it's all wrapped up in one person. They don't have different engagements. It's all because of Jesus. He is the hope. He is the joy. He is the peace. He is the love. That's the joy, as we talk about this week, of the Advent, is that God looked at all the dumb things we've done, all the sin in our lives, and he saw us and knew that and came. And so this week, the invitation is to wait like Mary. I won't go far to that because I think it gets us off the track a little bit. But one thing Mary did, she didn't go and tell everybody, hey, the Messiah, he's right here, he's coming. Like, she just kind of was willing to just live her humble life. In fact, we don't know tons about Mary. We got little snippets here and there. I mean, we know way more about Paul, a guy who was killing Christians, than we do the birth of the mother of Jesus, right? She was willing to just be who God created her to be. She was humble. She was lowly in a lot of ways from the way that society looked at her. All these things were there, and that was just like, Mary's like, God looked on me and saw me. And so you may say, well, yeah, but God chose her to be the mother of the Savior. The whole idea of Advent is that God came. The incarnation was the reason. It's because he saw all of us. So you can lean into who you are, knowing that God sees you. You can share that with other people, knowing that he sees them exactly as they are and loves them. That's the joy. Like, he loves them. He came for them. That is our message at Christmas, is that God came in flesh, loved us, and then eventually we celebrate Easter, but we can't separate the two ever. Because one was the reason for the other. The other one had to happen so that the one could, you know, like, those were, we talk about those 52 Sundays a year. We can't just talk about it too, because I don't know what else to talk about the other 50. God saw you, God sees you, and he still comes, and he still loves, and he still did all that he did for you. So it's okay if you feel obscure or alone or insignificant, because you are seen by the creator of the universe. Mary's song, the song that she sang, is an invitation to remain in your humble estate and to trust that God is with you, forgiving, loving, calling you to him, inviting you into his greater story. And let me just say for a moment, as a church, as we're kind of have moved and it seems like there's been some identity shifts and all this stuff, like, that's the same story for us corporately as a body of believers, as a family of God. We don't have to be seen. It's not our point. God does see us. He's in our midst right now. He loves us. As we worship and sing songs to him, he's here. Creator is here. And so whatever your response to worship is, you can respond. It doesn't seem like a Christmas song normally. I was going there when I got off on a tangent about my experience on the radio this morning. But the song after that we're going to sing as response just talks about the fact that God made a way. That, we don't sing that. You know, we don't teach our kids that in school, along with Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer. But it's the hope of the Advent, that God made a way, that if God hadn't come, I don't have a way forward. So it's very much a Christmas celebration. Is here it is, because Jesus came in flesh, you made a way. Now I have a way that I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about destruction. I don't have to worry about places where there's not peace, because one day God's going to make all that whole, and he did that because he made a way. And so as we stand this morning, have communion, let it be a communion that remembers the fact that God knew and saw you and came and then eventually died. But it's a celebration. I mean, whether the song's slow or fast, whether our hearts feel downtrodden or we're full of joy, it is there because God made this way. He made it possible. And so, we're going to pray. We're going to come forward and remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made after he came initially, so that we could have this joy and this peace and this hope and this love. So let's pray. God, we're thankful this morning as we spend a lot of our energies during the days right now focusing on Christmas celebration, and rightfully so. God, may we always remember that the biggest part of that celebration is the fact that you came. And you came because you saw us. And even though you saw us and you saw the good and the bad, you still came. And so for that, God, we stand as a family of believers who's grateful. So grateful that you see us. God, would you put the desire of our heart this Christmas season, not necessarily to be seen by other people. If that happens, whatever. But God, let us stand in security of knowing that you've seen us, and that is all that matters. God, would you also let us be people who, in light of this, as a response of knowing that we have been seen by you, may we also, would you fill us this morning with a desire that others see you and know that they're seen by you? Would you give us opportunities to share that with them this week? Would you give us opportunities to show someone that you've seen them? Maybe just by the fact that you move our hearts to take them out to coffee or spend an hour listening to their story. God, we're thankful that you've done that to us. May, out of the outflow of that, may a response of our worship also be to love others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.